Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your saber callings on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Going across the nation, thanks to NERS. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Yeah, we're living in a different world at the moment. COVID-19 is upon us. Keep doing what you're doing, you mob, regarding staying safe. Stay at home. Don't leave home if you don't need to. If you are living home, 1.5 metres away from everybody else, they say social distancing. I say physical distance. Keep the physical part 1.5 away, but keep the social up strong. If you go cough, sneeze, make sure you do that into your elbows. If you're using tissues, discard. Do what you need to do to flatten out this so-called curve. And look, for our mob out there in remote communities, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Claire Brown, Program Advisor, Nutrition Strategy from Punapima, Cape York Health Council, and securing food and other essentials for remote communities. On the line, Claire, good morning. How are you?
Morning, morning. Not too bad. And yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, how are you? Keeping safe?
Yeah, definitely. It's challenging times at the moment, isn't it?
It is.
Weird and wonderful things happening.
It is. And look, we're doing so very good. Hats off to all Australians doing our bit, but we need to keep doing it and to get rid of this, well, contain this virus. I mean, there's no vaccine for it at this point in time, is there?
Yeah, no. And I mean, I think what you said is great. Like, it's exactly right. Like, there have been some amazing results in Australia. Like, we've done really well. And I think particularly up here in Cairns and Cape York, it's, you know, people have been doing a great job.
Fantastic. Now, Punapim and Cape York Health Council welcomes Honourable Ken White's assurance last week that ensuring a reliable supply of essential goods, groceries, pharmaceuticals and other crucial supplies to remote communities during the COVID-19 pandemic is a high priority for the Australian government. So it's fantastic that they haven't forgotten our mob in remote communities.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, we really welcome that assurance. And recently, actually, Minister White, a few days ago, also reiterated that it's a priority for them because, you know, like most stores across Australia, we're starting to see shortages in some areas in community stores. You know, things like rice, flour, hand sanitizer, and, you know, of course, toilet paper.
Don't forget that. That's right.
but, you know, different brands as well. And so everyone's facing this at the moment. But, you know, I guess what we're trying to say is across Australia, we've been asked not to stockpile so that everyone is looked after and that those that are most disadvantaged, you know, for example, those on low incomes, elderly people, people with disabilities aren't missing out. And so we're really wanting to say that equally we need to make sure that stores in remote Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander communities and other remote areas still have fair access to supplies so people living in communities don't miss out as well.
Well, I remember the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, mentioned early in the piece and regarding the food food in this country, we have got plentiful supply of, and so there's no need to go and bulk buying as such, and that's why we spread the food out. There's enough food for everybody, so we need to be in control of what we're purchasing, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Like, store groups and stores are working really hard to secure food in remote communities and you know, across Australia. And it's great that, you know, in areas like Cape York, we're not seeing that panic buying that we're seeing in the cities. You know, there is enough supply. And I guess what we're trying to say is it's really important to make sure that stock is still protected for remote communities because people in cities have been buying up in bulk and been buying crazy amounts. And, you know, remote stores make up a tiny amount of the national food market in Australia. It's really, really small. And so prioritising supply to remote stores will really reduce the risk of coronavirus being taken back into communities. People have to shop in regional centres, but will have really minimal impact to supply for food from supermarkets. You know, like, it's not going to impact people shopping in Cairns at all, but prioritising the stock will make sure that communities don't miss out and won't impact people across Australia. So it has to be done.
Exactly. In regard to the space that you're working in and the Puddenpima Cape York Health Council that look after all our mob up there in the Cape, how are you guys operating in this space at this point in time?
Yeah, like I think it's a really, it's a difficult time and it's always changing. You know, we still have got, you know, great health workers that are out in communities. We have maternal and child health staff as well. And we have support from in Cairns, you know, trying to look at doing phone link-ups and video link-ups. I know recently our social emotional wellbeing team have recently introduced a hotline for people to call as well. So, you know, it's learning to kind of work in this different environment and challenging time so we can best provide a good service to people of Cape York as well. But, you know, it's continuing to evolve, and as we do that, we'll continue to get better in that area.
Exactly. And thinking outside the square, I mean, social media and technology that's at our fingertips, so to speak, that's become a very handy tool, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, I was just looking on our Facebook page just this morning at Pinapina, and there are some great resources on there, and there's been some really good engagement that I've noticed. People are sending in videos and pictures of what they're doing and ways to describe coronavirus or pictures around it. I mean, I saw recently, you know, like it's a really tough time, but you're still seeing that people are really amazing and resilient in communities and they're staying really strong during these times. Like there's this lovely video that Pinapina has shared on our Facebook page, and it's about women in Cohen sharing some fabulous sharing their culture around you know, instead of makeup and other areas, you know, traditional dress, and it's great. Like there's some really awesome things happening,
and so, you know, the talent is rising to the surface as well.
Pardon?
Talent, people's talent is rising to the surface as well, isn't it?
So I think it's really important to really share those great stories of how amazing people are.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, listen, thank you very much for sharing with us, and look, all the best to Puddenpima Cape York Health Council and the work that they're doing, looking after our mob up there, and to all our mob up there, just stay safe and keep doing what you're doing. And yourself as well, you and your family, keep safe, and we'll be yarning soon, Claire.
Thank you, and you too. And I just want to assure people in Cape York that, you know, a lot of people are really working on, you know, getting, making sure that stock for stores and remote areas are protected. You know, there's a lot of people involved, and, you know, Dr. Mark is an absolute champion in this area as well. And, you know, he's really working hard to make sure that remote communities are not forgotten during this time. So I want people to know that, definitely. And, you know, for people to check out our Facebook page for up-to-date information and, you know, see some of the amazing stuff that people are doing and to share some of that great news.
Claire Brown, you're a good girl. Thank you very much. All the best to your team and your family,
thanks
my sister.
You too. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn there with Claire Brown, our Program Advisor and Nutrition Strategy for Puddenpima Cape York Health Council. They're doing a fantastic job. You mob in the Cape know them as the Orange People, or walk around with their beautiful orange shirts, stand out like doggies, you know what I'm saying? Fantastic, do beautiful work there for our mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, add to the conversation, tell us how you're travelling in COVID-19, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. And the Australian Government's National COVID-19 Helpline. Don't forget that number, 1-800-020-080. That number again, 1-800-020-080 for the Australian Government's National COVID-19 Helpline if you've got any queries there as well. Stay safe, you mob, and stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Want to hear from your mob. Hope you're well. Too deadly.
Ina ne kapuana, ina ne kapuana, ula, 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 epi, guana, 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 I'm
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I
remember the day. Good morning, mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and running here in Cairns at the First Nation Radio Station, Bummer Brickman Media, BBM 98.7 FM. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, thank you very much. Going to jump into the conversation, have a beautiful yarn with Dr. Eva Abel, International River Foundation CEO, and talk about the online events set to raise environmental awareness. On the line, Dr. Eva, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm as good as I can be, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. In the space that we're living in at the moment, fantastic. Blessed are the flexible, and that's where we need to be at this point in time. Just give us a bit of background on IRF, International River Foundation, please, Doctor.
Thanks, Trevor. The International River Foundation was founded over 20 years ago now, and it started to basically provide global recognition for best practice in river restoration, but also support the outstanding work in the field. So it started with two major events, the International River Symposium, which was more a knowledge sharing across different types of organizations, whether it's academic, whether it's the community base, corporates, as well as government.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was followed then by the award, the launch of the first ever International River Prize. So the International River Foundation hosts one of the most prestigious prizes in the world, environmental prizes in the world, in the form of the International River Prize.
So if you look at it, so we're talking rivers and streams. We're talking about, like he said, the blood flow of water, which is one of the most precious commodity on planet Earth, yes?
Yes, we are. And what we're doing, Trevor, is we really are championing the health of waterways, but not only the current health, but more importantly, resilience.
Yes.
So we're actually pushing for the resilience of our world's rivers across three pillars, right? So we do it around celebration, which we need to celebrate the good work that is being done. We need to celebrate our relationships,
yes,
with these important resources. Collaboration, we cannot do it by ourselves. You know, we are a very small team based in Brisbane.
Okay.
We're a group of six, but also leadership.
Yes. Yes. Now, there's mention of the International Rivers Foundation Chairman, Professor Paul Greenfield, and says that the coronavirus has meant we must do business differently. This means events would normally run to foster knowledge exchange must now be run online. So we're talking about a river flow online, so to speak, are we not?
Yes, we are. So mid-March was when the office started telecommuting, Trevor. But that means we also, because we have been hit very hard with our flagship event, the International River Symposium, was meant to be held in China this year.
Mm.
So IRS was meant to be China 2020. But of course, with obvious reasons, we have to basically reorganize or replan what we're going to do with IRS this year.
All right, fantastic. So that is yet to happen, the River Symposium. Everything's all on hold at the moment, and hence is why Professor Paul Greenfield has talked about online streaming, so to speak.
Yes, you're right, Trevor. So this global phenomenon or global challenge that we're facing now has actually allowed the team to reflect on new ways and how we could work to still achieve our vision, right, of river resilience and river health. So we are really looking at a couple of things. So we've just launched an online platform called River Streaming, which consists of two forms of interactive forums. One is called River Dialogues, and the other one is a shorter form, which is a webinar called River Talks. And next week, as you've indicated, we will be having our first River Talk next week.
Fantastic. So what's the webpage for that?
So the webpage would just, if you just go to our www.riverfoundation.org.au, that's where you get all the links to our various form of online activities and offers.
Fantastic. I'll be catching up very soon to have a yarn with Bradley Morgridge. Now, he's a Murray man, a First Nation man. He's at the table with you guys as well?
Yes, he is. Bradley actually has given us a lot of his time in various forms. He judges. He's part of the judge in our river prizes. And he also comes to our International River Symposium. But more importantly, for next week, we actually have him as our first speaker for our inaugural River Talk next week. Because what we believe is we really would like to understand the cultural aspect of rivers, Trevor. They're very critical in how we actually, how rivers cope, especially in this times of crisis that we have, right?
Exactly. And to have a First Nation man at the table, I mean, I think that's a bonus when we're talking about 60,000 years on planet Earth. We would have some sort of knowledge that could be vital for your space.
Well, very much so, definitely, Trevor. And that's why we are very much appreciative and grateful to Bradley for being on the journey with us. So we know that we have the current challenge now, but sometimes we should not forget that, you know, early this year we've also been challenged with the bushfires.
Exactly.
Right? So Australia really has been given a lot of challenges, and this is what the first event next week is all about. It's under the theme of Rivers on Fire.
Yes.
And it talks about how rivers and how communities around the rivers will understand the impacts. We want to raise awareness, and we also want to create a call for action.
Look, very important to have conversations as such. We as First Nation people, we strongly believe, and the elders feel as though that Mother Earth is crying out, so we need to have this important discussion.
Very much so. And the other one that I would like to highlight is we are just about to release the Resilient Rivers Blueprint, and central core to that, Trevor, is really the spiritual or cultural relationship that we have with the rivers. We started with that, with the rivers. Sometimes in some rivers around the world, we've forgotten that aspect. And if we need to go back and really reconnect to that aspect of the river, because then we would understand how to actually manage it a bit better.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's a team effort. We need to get it together. That's what it's all about. How does a normal day punter, an average man or woman, can support our rivers? What sort of advice can you give there?
Oh, the first stop is come with us in the journey. And how you do that is definitely sign up to our website. We are just now developing a membership type of mechanism or structure where we could invite members. We actually have a broad network of about 4,000 what we call as river leaders, because we are all leaders in our own right.
Yes.
Whether we're a community member doing on ground work on the river, or we're actually a politician who is in charge of the environment, or let's say a corporate who actually does work in the river, we are all river leaders in our own right. Yeah.
Yes, so, and all river leaders, step up, please, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Get involved, get updated, sign up to our newsletters, go to our website, participate in our river talks and river dialogues. And as I said, for river champions and river managers out there, if you feel that you haven't been recognized enough, we do have opportunities for recognition, such as I said, the river prizes. Come and join us and participate and put in a submission to a river prize.
Yes.
We do not know if we'll have one this year, Trevor, but we definitely will have an International River Prize next year.
Good, fantastic. Love the space you're working in. Dr. Eva, thank you very much for the conversation. All the best to the IRF, the International River Foundation, and the work that you're doing. And being flexible in regarding the space we're living in at the moment regarding COVID-19 and going online, river streaming, fantastic. And I need to keep the conversation alive. So thank you very much for coming to the program. All the best to you and your deadly team and your family as well. And you stay safe, Dr. Eva.
Thank you, Trevor, and thank you to the listeners, your listeners out there, and thank you for giving me a chance to talk about how important the spiritual and the cultural aspects are of our rhythm.
Fantastic. You take care, Dr. Eva. Thank you.
Take care too. Bye, Trevor.
Bye bye. a deadly yarn there with Dr. Eva Abal, her name is, International River Foundation CEO, and River Streaming online events set to raise environmental awareness and being flexible to what's happening at the moment in regard to the COVID-19 and the space they're working in. In actual fact, the IRF was supposed to be having their flagship event, the International River Symposium, which was supposed to be held in China 2020 this year, but of course had to pause any planning of the River Symposium, and you know, for obvious reason. And however, they look forward to partnering with China as soon as practical possible. So there it is, looking after the river, the space that we live in regarding Mother Earth and water, and one of the most precious commodities on Earth, water. And so we all can do our bit by loving and respecting our riverways and keeping it clean and what have you. So if you go out there and doing your fishing and doing what you need to do, and take your nets with you and take your rubbish with you, don't leave cans of Coke, empty Coke cans are everywhere, or whatever the case may be. So do what you need to do to keep your river safe. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong here on our National Talk Black. Yarning with the Baldy on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can give us a call on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
Shapes of our great ancestors as the daylight leaves the sky.
Bob, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, good morning, you mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumber Group Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to catch up with the daily brother now by the name of Bradley Morgridge. He's on the line to talk about his space that he's working in and class as the Aboriginal Water Expert on the line. We've got Bradley. Very good morning, Bradley. How are you?
Yeah, I'm a deadly brother.
Yeah. To you, deadly brother. Thank you for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, born and bred in Western Sydney on Darug land, and my mob is Kamilaroi mob, so northwestern New South Wales, up on the border rivers. Place, you know, my mum was born in Narrabri, and Nan and Pop, they're around Boomai, and a place called Toomala. So they're strong, you know, we're already river people, but also we have a strong connection to spring country, which is, we're sort of at the bottom end of the Great Artesian Basin. So my interest in water grew from our knowledge, and, you know, one of our big water places on country is called Boobra Lagoon, and we've got a cultural species there named the Gudia, and, you know, it lives in a deep water hole, and you don't mess with that place.
Yeah, brother. Yep, exactly. There's a story that many of our elders have told us about, and there you are delivering that story. Fantastic. Brother, you are Aboriginal Water Expert, PhD candidate at the University of Canberra. I just finished having a deadly yarn with Dr. Eva Abel, International River Foundation CEO, and you're a part of that IRF, International River Foundation. Great to have a First Nation person at the table in regard to the precious liquid of water, and we're talking river flows here, rivers across the globe. So you excited about this space?
Yeah, look, as I tell my audiences, if I get to present, I've been involved with water about 65,000 years.
So nice, yes.
I know a bit about it.
Exactly.
it's a space that I knew was important, especially when you realise what Australia is. You know, it's the driest inhabited continent on Earth. And then when you realise that we have access to the oldest knowledge on the planet, our mob's knowledge, about water and surviving and how to find and refine water in a dry landscape, I think it's truly miraculous. So when you think of those desert mobs, they had it tough, you know. They had to know their country like the back of their hand. But, you know, the same as the people with that are surrounded by resources, you know, on the coast. You know, you've got seafood and freshwater springs and rivers flowing, potentially freshwater rivers, but those desert mob had to know their places. And I think that really excited me when I was going through high school and then into uni, and I, you know, studied geology, which was more about study what was below the ground, and then that didn't really fit in. But moved over to environmental science and started thinking about how rivers flow, but then how knowledge can actually influence the way we think about and value water. And that's been I suppose my battle for the last 20 years is looking at how we can build the profile of water. It's not a commodity. It's seen as a commodity, has a dollar value, but how do we value it for what it is, you know, the essence of life?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's been my fight ever since. And then I moved into the groundwater space, and then regulation and things like that. So, yeah, and then after a mishap with the New South Wales government where they didn't like Aboriginal people, they got rid of my unit of Aboriginal water experts, and unfortunately that led me to do a PhD. So I've been there for the last 3 years, and looking at how traditional knowledge can influence Western water management is my sort of topic area, and, you know, I'm really loving this space.
Well, in actual fact, the government did you a favour by getting rid of your department, so to speak, and you bounced back all guns blazing, went to university, come back with a piece of paper, and there it is in your face.
Well, one of my tasks is to make them accountable for what they did.
Exactly.
You know, we were the only Aboriginal water youth in the country at that time.
Yes.
And, you know, that was quite sad, actually. But, you know, now I suppose I have a new challenge, and, you know, that door closed and this one's opening, and I think this door opening is like a garage door, not just a front door.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of opportunities in this space, and, you know, the International River Foundation gives us this opportunity to have our voice, and that's been a big part of what I do, is making sure that, you know, I understand the lingo, I understand the science, I understand what they're trying to, that they don't bamboozle me, and I suppose being at the table to understand and have a point of view. Like, I can only talk from my mob,
sure,
and myself, but I can't talk for everyone in Australia. You know what it's like, you know, you put yourself out there as a leader and you get flogged, but, you know, I'm only there. I've always said that I'll only talk with advice from my elders.
And look, there it is, and there's the respect there as a First Nation man, you know, only talk on behalf of your mob and in that space where your mob operate from. So, look, your heart's in the right place. Spiritually, you're connected there, my brother, which is fantastic. I did say that I had an earlier yarn with Dr. Eva Bull with the International River Foundation and the CEO, the position she holds, and, look, spoke very highly of you and being at the table, and she just thought it's a no-brainer to have a First Nation person at the table in regard to the International River Foundation. Tell us about that space you're working in there and your communication with the foundation as such, brother.
Yeah, next week we've got an event called Rivers on Fire, and it was going to be a breakfast and a seminar. Myself and Dr. Fran Sheldon from Griffith Uni, and we're sort of taking the space to talk about, just talking it from a Western science point of view, around, especially around how, you know, big fires like what we had in southeastern Australia, what that can do to our rivers, you know, once it rains, you know, and also the what fires can do to the actual rivers themselves. So, and my point of view is about the value of fire and knowledge and water. I'm not a fire expert, don't get me wrong there, you know, people like Brother Victor and...
Victor Stephenson, that's what I had yarns with him, and look, I think that comes arm in arm in regard to the Aboriginal way of using fire as a tool and to nurture it, to work with the International River Foundation or the flow of water, that goes hand in hand, does it not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and look, they are closely related. They can be arch enemies. You know, fire, water puts out fire. But...
Yeah, true. That's what you mean. Come on, Cassie. But... That's what...
They can. They do work in hand, especially in the knowledge space and how our old people thought about the landscape. And that's what I'll try and bring across in my presentation. Is around that value of that knowledge about the whole landscape, not just bits and pieces of it.
Sure.
You know, they knew that, they know their country, they sing their country, they talk about their country, they dream about their country, and everything that's in it relates to survival.
Yes.
You know? And I suppose, and what I'll also talk about is our mobs were the, you know, we were the first scientists.
Sure,
you know,
exactly.
Our old people are the first scientists.
Yes.
You know, they tested country, they retested it, they had methods, you know, they had methodologies, and that was part of our, you know, our songs, our dances, that was our methods of understanding and passing on that knowledge to the next generation.
And when you're talking survival, you're talking also our mob and our relationship with country, with Mother Nature, you know what I mean, and Mother Earth, non-Indigenous, whether it be professionals or not, or governments or what have you, need to have an open mind when we're at the table and we're having that conversation, yes?
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing, is that we rarely get to those tables to have those conversations.
Yes.
And, you know, these bushfires, you know, Australia as a country seems to respond to big crisis, you know, like...
The horse is already bolted, so to speak. Okay, let's talk now. Bring the mob over here. Let's have a yarn.
Right. Can you fix it?
Can you fix it? Help a brother out here. That's right. Look, we laugh and we mock, but it is what it is, isn't it?
No, it is. It's true fact, you know. That's the thing, is that, you know, we have something to offer, and I sort of said earlier that, you know, oldest knowledge on the planet has something to offer this big, dry continent, because our mob know it.
Yeah,
that's the thing,
exactly.
We've been here for generation after generation, and I think we need to have our time in the sun, and, you know, some of our methods, and I know Victor talks a lot about, you know, the right fire for the right country, and that's true, because... You think about Australia, we're so vast, you know,
we've got tropics,
we've got alpine region, we've got desert, we've got temperate, you know,
rainforest.
So you've got all these different country, and I suppose fire was a tool for that mob to manage their country. And I think that's the bit that needs to be explored more. And our our knowledge holders need that that space.
It's a no-brainer, Bradley. And look, to our dear listener there, Trinity Trev yarning here with Bradley Morgridge. He's a Kamilaroi Murray, and he's an Aboriginal water expert and PhD in Canada at the University of Canberra. Brother, any young up-and-coming brothers and sisters following in your footpath at the moment?
Oh, look, that's been one of my other things, is trying to make science a bit more sexy, you know.
Bring it on, that's it.
Yeah.
How you doing? Yeah, that's right, brother, yeah. To make it prettied up to, for, you know, get the passion out there to come to the surface from our young brothers and sisters on this journey, you could say.
And look, a lot of our young ones don't think science is achievable for them or a career pathway for them. But I suppose, you know, if I get out there and talk as much as I can, exactly, they can see that, you know, this fella, he's had a go, he's made a difference, he's making a difference, and that's been part of my career, is if I don't have an impact where I am, I move on.
Yeah, lead from the front, brother. That's exactly, brother. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and getting the next generation interested, you know, they, young people ask questions naturally, but it's then evolving that into thinking about, you know, how does this work? Why did this happen?
Exactly.
You know, and that's part of science, is asking those questions and then
being inquisitive.
And you try, as a scientist, you get to answer them.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, Brother, look, too deadly. Thank you very much for the yarn. I love the work that you're doing. You're working in a very important space when we're talking about water, brother, and riverways, you know. And you're at the table with the International River Foundation. So I thank you very much for coming to the table, my brother, to the program. All the best to you and your deadly mob. And, brother, just stay safe, okay, cuss?
Yeah. Thanks, brother. Thanks.
All the best. We'll talk soon, eh, brother?
Yeah, mate.
Take care, Bradley. A beautiful yarn there. Bradley Morgridge, his name is, and Aboriginal water expert and PhD candidate at the University of Canberra. And he's also at the table with the International River Foundation. And Dr. Eva Abel spoke highly of him and thought we'd catch up with the brother and have a yarn in the space he works in. Spoke highly of our brother here from far north, Victor Stepherson, who works in the fire space. So fantastic that Murrays are now at the table, and fantastic to see First Nation people at the table in all facets and all industries, and very important, water. Why not? Have your say, you mob. 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Baldy on, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Rikari, live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Want to hear from you. 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Rikari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, and operate here at the Murray Radio Station, BBM 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by giving us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, I'm going to talk to Dr. Lisa Slade, Art Gallery of South Australia, Assistant Director, and talk about the deadly stuff they're doing there in South Australia, Monstrous Neo Digital Teen Takeover. On the line, Dr. Lisa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev, and good morning from Ghana country.
Too deadly. Thank you for coming to the program. Look, pretty fired up. I'm hearing your voice prior to our conversation off air there about the Monstrous Neo Digital Teen Takeover. So just paint the picture what the Art Gallery of South Australia is doing there with Neo.
Sure. So since 2016, we've been holding events just for 13 to 17-year-olds. So we lock everybody else out of the building and we invite 13 to 17-year-olds from all over the place into the Art Gallery of South Australia, black and white and everybody.
Good.
So what we're doing now, because of the challenges, of course, of having the gallery closed, we've opened up a digital space. So NEO will now go digital. From the 25th of April, we'll have a fantastic event online where all the great things that normally happen in the Art Gallery will actually be happening online.
Good.
For 13 to 17-year-olds. The great thing about that is you don't have to be in Adelaide. You don't even have to be in South Australia to participate. You can be anywhere in the world.
Fantastic. So tell us the movement, how it all started with NEO.
Yeah, so there's this foundation. They're called the Balnaves Foundation. They're actually based over in Sydney. They have a real connection to community, to outreach, to the arts and to young people. And those last two, arts and the young people, of course, come together with the NEO program. We identified that we were working really well with really young children and families, and we had great adult programs. But the thing we were missing here at the Art Gallery of South Australia was a bridge between the young fellows and our adult audiences. So the Balnaze funds the program, they fund a staff member, and they fund the activations, and that means that we can create this incredible space, a safe space, a really safe space culturally as well as a safe place physically for young people between 13 and 17. We have about six events per year, but in essence, through social media and online, NEO pretty much happens every day here at the Art Gallery.
And to what I'm picking up there, you're also nurturing young and up-and-coming artists or just going behind the scenes in regard to the talent that lies within a person, especially young people.
Absolutely. And, you know, you don't have to see yourself as an artist to be or an artist in the making. You can just be somebody who's interested.
Lovely.
And you may not just be interested in visual arts. We have musicians as every part of the program. There's always activations. This time we're going to do some gaming. I think Dungeons and Dragons is on the event, is on the agenda for this program. So pretty much anything goes, Kev. Mm. Our incredible Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander program that we do with Tarnindi, that's really helped us diversify too. We've had Indigenous DJs, Aboriginal performers. We've had people from all over the country come to Adelaide to perform and to present. So I see it as this space where so many of the things that we do on a daily level here at the Art Gallery can come together under the one umbrella.
Yes.
That umbrella is normally a physical umbrella, but because of the current challenges, we have the opportunity to think about that umbrella as a digital umbrella. So kids can come to the space digitally on the 25th of April, and thereafter there's always something happening online. They just go to the gallery's website, they go to the What's On section, they find NEO, N-E-O. NEO means new. It's a prefix which means new and the next best thing.
Good.
So they find NEO, they go to NEO, and they can choose to participate. They can just choose to watch what's going on. They can participate in a dance class.
Yep.
They can participate in drawing classes. They can, as I said before, get involved in Dungeons and Dragons. They can listen to some live music created from people's bedrooms.
Look, and we, like I said, living in a different world at the moment, and COVID-19 just makes us think outside the square, partner. That's exactly what you've done there with the NEO Digital Teen Takeover, and kids are still at the table now. And then you're also talking about entertainment or activities for kids who are isolated at home.
Absolutely. And it also just expands their world. They can
exactly.
connect with each other. They can connect with the art gallery. All of a sudden, the art gallery becomes a place. They may not have thought of themselves as being connected to art. Mm. All of a sudden, they go, actually, the art gallery is not just a place where you go to see an exhibition. It might be the place where you go to hear about an artist. So one of the things we're doing on the 25th is we're going to go inside an artist studio. One of our artists, Julia Robinson, who's based here in Adelaide, we're going to go inside her studio to see how artists make work. I know there's loads of curiosity out there around what artist studios are like and how artists make work. So we're going to actually deliver a sense of, you know, what is it?
Going on the inside.
Going on the inside.
Yeah, Julia Robinson. Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful. This is so great. So thank you so very much. And look, a very important space.
Absolutely.
How do young ones get engaged? And is there a web page there?
Yep, you just go to the Art Gallery of South Australia website, which is just agsa.sa.gov.au. Just go, put in Art Gallery of South Australia into any search engine and go to What's On. And once you find What's On, you'll see NEO, N-E-O. I reckon you could put NEO into any Google search engine and it'll come up anyway.
Good, and have all the information and regarding the time on the 25th of April how are they going to engage?
Yep, absolutely. Kicks off at 6 p.m, Trev.
6 p.m.
Adelaide time.
Lovely.
6 p.m. Adelaide time, but as I said, it'll be ongoing. If you miss that event, don't worry.
Yeah, continue. It's there.
Have a look at the kind of activation.
So if you're bored, if you want space away from Xbox or playing cards or doing jigsaw puzzle, get in touch with NEO Digital Teen Takeover.
That's it. Excellent. Thanks, Trev.
Hey, Dr. Lisa, thank you. All the best to you. Take care, keep smiling, and stay safe.
Thank you so much. Natalia.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yarn there. Dr. Lisa Slade, Art Gallery of South Australia Assistant Director, and talking about the monstrous neo-digital teen takeover. So if your mob out there are getting bored and don't know what to do, then you can get involved with that that fantastic opportunity, digital teen takeover, all about art and all different facets of art. And look, it's open for ages 13 to 17, a space, a safe space to be working in and to get educated in art. You don't have to be an artist as such. So if you want to just have a look at something different and being involved and engaged with people across the nation, that's a good way of doing it. So Google Art Gallery of South Australia and click on the Neo and what's going on, and you'll be able to get involved. Too Deadly, Bob. Have your say here on your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Deadly number 1-800-422-416. Yarning with your Deadly host here, the Bally one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and taking you right up to 12 noon Queensland time. Add to the conversation 1-800-422-416.
Oh, well, let's get this in one, eh?
Yeah. Oh, we get it spot on.
6-5-4-3-2-1.
Gather round, people, I'll tell you a story, an 8-year-long story, power and pride, the British Lord Vesty, Vincent Lingari, were opposite men on opposite sides.
Vesty was fat, with money and muscle, beef was his business, broad was his door. Vincent was lean, spoke very little, he had no bank balance, hard dirt was his floor.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Yeah, from little things, big things grow. Kev Carmody here on your Daily Program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Sister Sylvia. Good morning, my sister. How are you?
Great. I'm good. Kwabadak, which means beautiful. Kwabadak, Nuni, Trevor.
Thank you very much, my sister. And you're travelling well? You good?
I'm making sure. I've been an at-risk person my whole life, Trevor, without, no, you know, so it's a habit.
It's a habit, yes. We it's are creatures habit, of habit, you know? Aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're creatures of habit. You know what? We, the routines, you know, routines are like rituals as well.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so that's why
And what are you doing to keep safe, my sister?
Yes, but what I phoned today is because you know how I get so worried about, you know, I'm glad to hear you talk about the rivers and the land, and because the land has been screaming and crying a long, long time, and you can feel her pain when you're walking on it, especially where all the big cities are, and it's, she's choking under all the bitumen and concrete. You can really feel that, how quiet it is and how hurt it is. But so it's really... it's good to hear you speak about that. But also, they called it the fire season. There's no such thing as a fire season. There's the winter season, the summer season, the spring season, autumn seasons, but there's no such thing as a fire season. That is a human-made disaster.
Exactly. That's so true.
And they always sanitize things with this language, making it sound natural, right? They make it sound natural that white people should have supremacy and everybody else has subservience to their authority, whether it's any good or not.
Very much so.
Oh, no, they've been practicing colonial invasions and killing the Mother Earth, as we know, for thousands of years now. Not as many thousands of years as we've been living here, but for, according to the Bible, for thousands of years. You know, with the records about climate change way back then in Queen Cleopatra's time and Jesus's time, because they had the droughts back then. So what I found, there's a lot of people unemployed with COVID-19. Now, you know, our practical Aboriginal minds can always see the solutions.
Yes.
And all they can also, I think all they can see are problems and how to exploit the situation for their own gain.
Well, they say obstacles are those ugly things you see when you take your eyes... your focus off your goals and your dreams.
Well, yes, but they need clean air and clean water. All the colonials do as much as we do. They all need Mother Earth as much as we do, whether they know it or not.
Yes.
You know, nobody needs all that high-tech world of isolation and loneliness and individualization. You know, all the research is all saying that we're a community animal. But what's, you know those horrific fires? Now, in Queensland, I heard it was burning from August, so it was burning a long time. It causes climate change. Wrong. It wastes beautiful resources on the ground. It causes a cruel death and disasters to the animals and the environment, you know, the local environment. Now, there's a lot of unemployed people right now with COVID-19. So I don't know why the governing regime doesn't help local authorities or whoever it is get together with Aboriginal organisations and organise cleaning up. Where they've burnt far too hot, they need new topsoils. If you gather the... You know how we had our campfires burning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so our forest floors were never at risk like they are these days because it was already clean?
Yes.
Now, if we gathered that much up all the time of the dead branches and the twigs and the leaves that blow down from the trees, and with climate change, the trees are more stressed because they're not getting enough water, so they're shedding bigger limbs now. If we get all that cleaned up and it's all turned into topsoil, those topsoils can go to the damaged areas. There's a world shortage on topsoil already, so there's many places that need the topsoil. It's great for growing everything in. We, our forests and us, me, I need our fruits. I can't get them right now. I think they must have burnt them all because I can't get it anymore in the bottle from the eastern states. And I need my Kakadu plum juice. That's what keeps me fit and healthy.
Fantastic, my darling. I've got to go to the news. That's Sylvia there. Your mob, look, I want to thank you very much for your time. Local mob, stay tuned because Trend Traffic is going to take you right through to 1 o'clock. Here's the news. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Thank you very much.